Workshop presents an original radio drama by David Redstone, starring Zita Johann. It's titled The Winged Victory.
There's a hole in the screen door. That's what's the matter.
It seems to me, dear, I mentioned this before.
You did, darling. Yesterday.
Yesterday? The point is, I can't concentrate with buzzing all around. The study's like a hive. I have to get up and swat flies in the middle of an important piece of dialogue. How can a man be expected to do creative work under such conditions? It's humanly impossible. You understand, don't you?
I'll see that it's fixed, darling.
I wish you would, Joan. Have you sharpened my pencil?
I was just going to, darling.
Just going to? Well, you should have done it last night instead of putting it off to the last moment. You might spare me these trivialities. Now I have to sit here and listen to you grinding pencils in my ear.
Oh, I'll do it in the kitchen.
Please don't. I'll do it myself. Only don't have me remind you about these stupid necessities. A writer has to have these little things taken care of or he'll never accomplish anything. What are you doing with that book, dear?
The book? Oh, I was reading it.
Good gracious. That's not on the list I made for you.
Oh, but George, the books on that list are so dull.
Not exciting, I'll grant. It's a chronological list. That's the trouble with you, dear. You must learn to be orderly. And the way to do that is to have an orderly, functioning mind. Reading in an orderly way will help.
Well, your stories and plays, darling, I mean, they're wonderful, of course, but would you consider them serious? I mean, well, reading's for enjoyment, isn't it, darling?
Well, enjoyment, yes, naturally. But there's more to it than that.
Well, I feel enjoyment ought to come first, and then the rest could be sort of sprinkled around.
Child. Well, run along. No. You leave that book with me. It'll be here when you're ready for it, all in good time. For heaven's sake.
What?
Your slip. There's at least an inch showing.
Oh. Does it show now? Well, anyway, I'm going to put on a bathing suit and go down to the beach, so it won't show at all, will it?
Well, for heaven's sake, don't get sunburned. I can't stand your skin peeling. Wear a sun hat. Are you going alone?
Well, I told May Sewell I'd join her. She's giving a beach luncheon. Well, your milk and fruit are in the icebox. And don't forget to eat, darling.
A beach luncheon? The things idle people think of. I suppose there'll be those newspaper intellectuals sprawling around. All they talk about is politics. You'd think art was dead.
She's invited editors and whatnot.
Will Mike Campbell be there?
Yes. Well, I suppose so.
Say, dear, perhaps you can manage to entice him back here. His outfit pays rather decently.
I don't know. He doesn't like to talk about his job much. He comes down here to forget it all and keep away from writers.
Indeed. Typical of these commercial people. Where would they be if it weren't for writers, I'd like to know? Does he suppose we tolerate his crowd for their immense intellectual attainments? All editors are would-be writers who never wrote anything or tried and failed. Now they top dog it.
Well, I didn't think that Mike Campbell...
And another thing. Whenever Campbell talks to you, why do you just walk away in a daze and let the Gilmore woman snatch him up for her husband? You could be more helpful. Flatter him a little.
Well, early in the summer at the Gilmores, you said I was flirting with him.
I didn't know who he was. Now, Wayne Gilmore's wife, she has poise. Splendid-looking person. No wonder Gilmore sells so well. These editor folk feel at home with her. There's a model for you, my dear. She has savoir-faire.
Sounds like a bottle of wishy water.
Be serious, please. This is important to me. You don't know how to take advantage. I've got a story that's right up Campbell Street. Get him to talk sharp and... You can suggest, mind you, how my work's going great guns here and there, and before you know it, they'll be clamoring for my stuff. Why, the rot Gilmore puts out wouldn't get by the first reader if it weren't for his wife. Oh, those flies, flies. Well, run along and let me do some work. I can't sit here talking aimlessly to you all morning. Go. Now, try to be helpful about Campbell.
I'll try.
And the screen door. See about that, won't you, dear?
Yes, darling.
Please, Joan.
Nope. I'm not listening. I don't know you, Mr. Campbell.
I stole 4 sandwiches and some pickles.
I'm deaf as a post, and you're a thief.
Oh, good Lord, here comes the Gilmore.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Campbell. The sun is delightful, isn't it? Soak it up, do. You author chaps have to store up lots of precious sunshine so you can keep your radiant mood during those bad rainy days when all the best stories in the world seem gloomy. I'll never forget the time Wayne said you were golfing on and you wrote back that...
Say, Mrs. Gilmore, do you happen to have a bona fide ham sandwich for a cream cheese and jelly? I'll throw in a pickle.
Oh, there's nothing ethereal about you editors, is there? A big, brawny editor with hair on chest wants masculine ham on rye. Would you like me to get one for you?
Say, that would be sporting, would you? Well, let's see what's happening to my dog. Hey, Corky.
Oh, say, Sleazy Wheezy.
Sleazy Wheezy.
Oh, can I get something for you, Joan?
No, thank you. Hello, Corky. Hello, little button nose. What'd you dig up over there?
Hadn't you better lie down and rest, eh, Corky? Kicking sand into other people's lunches? John, that Gilmore dame's going to come back and sit in our laps. Have a heart.
Well, if you can't stand her, why didn't you tell her?
Now, listen to who's talking.
Well, I have to meet her in the village and at the post office and at people's houses all the year round.
All the more reason.
Well, go away and hide by yourself.
That's a good idea. See that cove? Joan, please look this way.
No.
I only want to show you where...
Do I have to be shown?
Well, then I'm going. Come, Corky.
Have a stick, boy. There she goes.
Here I am, back with a hat.
Why, what happened to Mr. Campbell?
He just up and walked off.
Oh, dear, they're so temperamental, these publishing people. Really, you have to handle them with tongs. They get whims just as if they were human. And you know, you have to come right down to their level if you want to get anywhere with them. Wayne says, and he's perfectly right about it, editors are children, just like the reading public. They're the sounding board, so to speak. Watch how they react, and you know just what the public demands. Quite idiotic. Oh, your husband doesn't slant for Campbell's outfit, does he?
He's working on a play right now.
Oh, well, in that case, you won't mind if I seem to be letting him pay attention to me, will you? Wayne does a lot of short things he could buy. You understand. Oh, goodness, isn't he ever coming back?
Oh, he said he was sick of... sick or something.
Oh, dear, poor boy. Well, if you want to know the truth, it's May Sewell's sandwiches. I think the mayonnaise is spoiled. She doesn't have an electric refrigerator. Oh, dear, what shall I do with this sandwich? Oh, well, ta-ta.
Corky! Hello, boy. What do you want? Oh, you darling. When you twist your head sideways like that, I could love you to death. You want a stick? Oh, there. Let's both go get it.
I was getting lonely.
So Corky told me. Well, for Pete's sake, don't give him a pickle. If I had a puppy, I'd have more consideration for his dinner.
Oh, don't worry about him. The other day, he had a pack of cigarettes in front of the shower curtain because I left him alone.
If I had a puppy, I'd never leave him alone. I'd take him with me wherever I went. I'd have a kitten, too. A little tiger kitten with stripes and a terracotta nose. And I'd call her Snooper. And the puppy's name would be Angus. I'd talk to them and they'd both listen. Be somebody listening anyway. They'd understand, too.
What else do you say to yourself, Joan, when you talk to yourself?
Do you think I'm unbalanced, Michael?
Not at all.
Yes, you do. I don't mind if you do. I suppose it is a little peculiar.
No, it isn't at all. In fiction, you know, writers often use the device of having a character talk to himself or herself. The reader doesn't think it's peculiar. If she's by herself a lot, she needs to hear the sound of a human voice. Her own will do if there's no other.
Look at that dog. He scooped away the sand to get to the cool part. How do they know those things? Corky, look at him lying on his little belly with his hind legs spread behind him like a harp. He doesn't mind the sand all over his nose. And do you think you could stand sand on the tip of your nose? Please don't talk about fiction, Michael.
I didn't mean to. Let's eat the sandwiches up here away from the water, huh? Here, you can rest your back against this rock and I'll spread the robe in the sand. Cream cheese and jelly.
Well, I don't mind. Give it to me.
Oh, shoo. Oh, that's the worst of eating on the beach. Where do all those flies come from? And that kelp over there, I suppose. The minute there's food around...
Will you please not chase flies?
Well, some of them bite.
Oh, let them bite. Let them buzz. Let them alone. Let them live.
Flies are carriers of typhus.
Well, what's so awful about typhus?
All right, let typhus germs live. Let them buzz.
Did you ever watch a fly and see how often it washes its hands and its neck?
I never saw a fly land on a piece of soap, did you?
No.
Well, so what's the good of all the washing?
Oh, I must remember the screen door at home. Will you remind me?
Okay, screen door. What's the matter with it?
That's the flies in.
Oh, of course. It bothers his nibs. How's the play coming?
Do you really want to know?
I don't care a continental.
Then talk about something else.
I love you, Gerald.
Please, Michael.
Shall I light a cigarette for you?
No, thank you.
Smoking's good. Fills up the hiatus. Lagging conversation dissolves inhibition, soothes the nerves. When words are prohibited.
Why do men always make up reasons? People do things all the time without any reason in the world. Now look, I take a handful of sand, let it sift through my fingers. I don't know why. I wasn't even thinking about it. There isn't any reason. I plucked this beech grass. How long it grows. I twist it round my finger. Green ring. Isn't it nice?
Your hands are lovely.
That's why you smoke, because in the city there's no grass to pull and no sand to sift. For no reason.
Want the rest of this cigarette?
No.
You stop smoking?
No, I smoke sometimes. Do you want me to smoke, Michael?
Why, no. I guess I assumed you might want to.
Why do you want me to smoke?
But I don't care in the least whether you do or not.
Truly?
Of course.
Then I'd rather not.
Then why do you sometimes?
Well, George says it's unsophisticated and immature not to smoke.
Ah, rot. So you do it because he... I'll never offer you a cigarette again.
Do you like goats?
Did you say goats?
Our grocer has a goat. He sells the milk. Do you know that a goat plays just like... Well, not like a dog. It nudges. And its forehead is so hard, when you scratch it, it stops nudging and looks at you with wise, strange eyes.
But a dog or a cat's more practical. Good Lord, you wouldn't want a goat in the house.
What in the world are you doing?
I'm being a goat.
Your forehead's too smooth. It doesn't scratch well. Michael, don't.
What if someone should see me kissing your arm? Is that it?
You mustn't.
What if someone should see me kissing your lips?
That'd be the end. I'd have to leave town.
Then I will.
No, Michael, don't.
We both leave together. I don't want to go back to the city alone.
I couldn't, Michael.
You love me, don't you?
Yes, I love you.
I won't be back next weekend. You know that. May not be here again till next summer. You know that.
Yes, I know.
Yet?
I can't.
You want to?
It isn't what I want.
Look.
What are you doing?
Taking a captain.
With grass?
Hold your wrists together. This is an experiment.
It cuts. It's too tight.
Wait. I need more grass. Now, a knot. This is tough grass, all right.
It's hurting.
See how pale your arms are now?
Don't take it off, Michael. Does it give you pleasure to hurt me?
Yes. Now I can kiss you.
Oh, Michael. Untie my hands. You didn't have to, really.
Just pull. Look, hold the heels of your hands together this way for leverage. The grass will break if you use a little strength.
It hurts.
Pull.
I can't.
Try.
Oh.
Please, Joan, try. Joan, don't you see you have to do it yourself? All right, then. I'll help you. I didn't mean to hurt you.
That's not why I'm crying. It didn't hurt so much. I could have done it myself. I couldn't.
Is it better now?
It doesn't hurt. It feels free.
Good, huh?
Free.
All you have to do is make a break, that's all. Joan, I want you to marry me. Listen to me. Just listen. You can't go on this way. It isn't living. What George wants is an ornament. Well, you're lovely, all right. He didn't make any mistake about that, and you took it for love. Why, that conceited fish doesn't know what love means. It sticks out all over his work. There's as much love feeling in it as there is in the children's fairy tale about Cinderella and the prince. Did you ever feel as a child that the two people were in love? That they cried or hurt each other or kissed? No, Cinderella was an ornament, nothing but a stick of glass. That's why the glass slipper fit. They lived happily ever after, and it stops there. To say more would take explanation. Might make them human. It would break the glass. Some women can take that sort of thing, but it isn't for you. You're hungry for love. You'd like to have a dog, a kitten, or a goat, but his nibs doesn't see that. He doesn't see what you need is something to love and to be loved. Wouldn't make any difference to him if he did. You're his wife. He thinks that ought to be enough to make you happy. Everything is just adjunct to his own little shallow microscopic soul. And after a while, you lost your ornamental value. What then? Look at Gilmore's wife. Why, the time may soon come when you'll say, see here, wifey, darling, I ought to be selling some scripts to that fella Campbell.
Stop! Stop! I won't
stop. You've got to listen to me. If I seem brutal, it's too bad. What about me? Don't I count? I've never known a girl like you. I've met lots. Now I'm home. The trip's over. You're sweet. You're warm. You're life. You're tender. You understand. You pity. You love. That's what I see. I won't let it go. It's too good, Joan. Joan, are you listening to me?
Yes.
But do you hear me? No, you don't. Coffee. Get the stick boy out there. Get it. You'll miss Corky. He'll miss you, too. He hates to go back to the city. He hates trains. He trembles all over when the big locomotive comes in like a steaming dragon, glaring with one eye and breathing fire. Then when it stops, he gets his courage back and he barks his head off. You're just a lot of noise, he says. Look out for me. I'm Corky Campbell. I'm rough and tough and hairy and bluff. Corky, go shake yourself somewhere else. Sad, Joan, to think of not hearing his bark again. It's always so joyous. Come on, life, it seems to say. I'm a match for you any day. Do you ever say that?
You ought to use a whip. It would be kinder.
I'd do anything to bring you to your senses. Think of me when the train pulls out.
Think of me? But you expect me to tear myself up out of the ground.
You haven't any. You haven't any roots here, Joan. Joan, let me go back with you. I'll tell him.
No, no. Telling's my job.
You wouldn't. You couldn't.
He wasn't always so. He's been working. He hasn't had a chance to consider me. If I told him, he might see and understand. He might change. It wouldn't be fair not to give him a chance.
Give me a hand just for a little while. That's no use. I've failed. I can't come back here again. It's because I love you, Joan. I guess I'll take the early train. The sooner the better. I'll try to pretend you'll come. It's hard to give you up. I'll pretend you're sitting beside me all the way. Goodbye. Goodbye, Joan. Say it.
I can't.
It's all right, I know.
You don't write to me.
No.
Corky, you're so wet.
Come on, boy.
Go on, Corky. Go.
Come on, Corky.
Don't wait for me, little dog. Go. Go.
Is that you, dear? Be a good girl and type these revised pages. Oh, Joan, that dress. It gives you hips. Couldn't you get Campbell to step in a while?
He had to make an early train.
Oh, too bad.
How's the work going, darling?
Oh, I don't know. They had visitors for lunch next door, some yawping little brats. It's a wonder I didn't go crazy. I don't know why kids have to scream and yell so much. If I had kids like that, I'd stuff a pillow down their throats. Oh, and these flies. Hang it, why do these pesky things exist? Or did you see about the screen door?
Oh, darling, I forgot. I'll go right down
Never
now.
Never mind now. I've stood it all morning. I guess I can endure it some more. I dare say you had more important things to think about. However, now, these pages come first. Oh, dear, where are those notes I made last fall on that courtroom scene? You wouldn't remember, I suppose.
Oh, I put them in the attic storeroom, darling. You remember you told me to tear them up. But I suggested you might want to use them in another story. I didn't think they were so bad.
Damned with faint praise. Some of my best work. I only needed to put it in its proper place. For heaven's sake, your face is tanning. Didn't you wear a hat?
I had a swim. The sun's quite strong today.
Well, you'll get swarthy like a gypsy. Be more considerate, darling. You have a short fingernail. I'd expect to see such hands on some little counter girl, not on my wife.
Oh, I broke it typing this morning.
Use the balls of your fingers, not your nails. Find me those notes, darling. Now, run along. That's a good girl.
Oh, I'm so tired. Not up here. Dusty. I wish I were dead. Why can't I just die? Life is too long. All I feel when I'm 30, 40, 60. Is it possible to live so long? Little fly, how'd you get up here? Big fellow? My. How long do flies live? 3 weeks. Then they get big and feeble and go whizzing about a window pane in the sunlight. Till they die. Not much left for you, is there? No, for me. Oh, dear, it's so hot. I haven't any strength left. One wing up and one wing down. You must have got tangled up somewhere. Lucky escape, huh? Oh, now I see how you got in. That little piece broken out of the attic window. Well, you can get out the same way. Go. That way, silly. 10,000 eyes and can't see a hole in the window pane. Well, maybe there's an old spider there. He's afraid. Walks, now stops. Walks and stops. Flies about and walks. Don't walk into that ball of fluff now. So fine and light. Dust and air and bits of cobweb. If you walk into that little fly, it'll feel just like some old spider's web. Then won't you be scared? Goodness, you've walked right into it. Oh, you fool. You fool. You didn't do it on purpose, did you? Maybe you did. Like people who jump out of windows. Now you think the spider will get you and wrap you up like a mummy till he needs you. I know. He's given up. Out of despair. Silly, that's no spider web. It's only dust. A little bit of fluff that you can break with your wings if you try. Just try. I'll help you. Buzz, why don't you? Fly away. Did you die? Did you die of fright? All right, then. Don't give up. Now, look. There's the window and the sunlight. You can get out. That's it. Try. Well, you're quite alive. And you might meet another little fly in the sunlight. You've done it. See? And you didn't get hurt at all. In the corner, that's where the hole is. You found it. You found it. Fly. Use your wings. To the sunlight. Into the sunlight. What did I come up here for? Why am I here? When there's life left. And sunlight. George, I'm going.
Good heavens, girl. What's the valise for? Where do you think you're going?
The train. The early train to the city.
You most certainly are not.
I'm going away with Michael Campbell.
What? With a valise? What do you mean?
I mean, George, I've got to go. Won't you try to understand?
Try to understand? Well, my dear, I understand the words, but they don't make sense. Out of the blue like this. Are you trying to tell me you want to go off with Campbell? You prefer that office boy to me? You want to make me look like a complete fool to the whole colony here and to all the mucky-mucks in the whole field? And by heaven, you've been doing it all this time.
Oh, no, George, I haven't. When I realized I was in love with him, I avoided him. But now I can't anymore.
Don't sicken me. You and that bore. And what about me? You've no obligation to me, it would seem. My position, my dignity, this mess of typing, but you don't owe me a thing.
George, you don't understand.
Oh. Oh, so that's it. Now, my dear, hadn't you better go upstairs, take some aspirin? Now, then we'll have a talk. You see, we'd look ridiculous.
I'll keep the divorce business as quiet as possible. If I thought things could possibly be different, George, I'd give you another chance.
You give me another chance?
No, I'm wrong. Things couldn't possibly be different. Just more impossible now. I am sorry, George. I can't change anything, but I am sorry.
You're not as sorry as you're going to be, my little friend.
There's that too, George. If I'd ever been your little friend, this never would have happened. You've never taken me close. I've always been, well, sort of combination ashtray and desk light. A broken nail that the neighbors could see would upset you. But a broken spirit that would upset the neighbors you couldn't see. George, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be unpleasant. I'm going.
Wait, hold on a minute, Joan. Let me think. You know, this is really quite silly. Why, you couldn't stand that barbarian. You'd want to come back in a week.
No, I'm sure.
You're a fool. You've always been one. Joan, this is just too unorthodox. A man can't say goodbye to his wife like this at a second's notice.
A man would, under these circumstances. If he stopped to think, if he wasn't thinking instead of how he could adapt this scene to a play he was working on.
Joan, there's a side of you coming to light I wouldn't like very much.
That's true. Let's end this. Goodbye, George. Really, this time. Goodbye.
It seems there's no holding you back, is there? I'm hanged. About Campbell, my dear. When you two aren't mooning at each other, would you try to remember me for a bit? You know, I should have something coming to me. I've no end of stuff I could let him have. There'll be a short by the first. Say, won't Gilmore turn green when he hears I've cracked Campbell?
Oh.
Joan. Joan. Why...
I've just heard the Columbia Workshops presentation of an original radio drama by David Redstone. Zita Yohann, star of the American stage and screen, played the role of Joan. Others in the cast were Adelaide Klein, Frank Lovejoy, John Griggs, and Donald Bain. Tonight's presentation was under the direction of Brewster Morgan. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will have as its guest director Hugh Hunt, who has long been identified with the famous Abbey Players, and who is at present in this country as director of Paul Vincent Carroll's Irish drama, The White Steed. Mr. Hunt will offer his own adaptation of one of the highly impressionistic short stories of the noted modern Irish author, Frank O'Connor. Your announcer is Harry Clark. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.